You have to believe God, and you have to believe the dominion and the authority and power that He's given you as a son of God. I'm a son of God. Are you a son or a daughter of God? Then who is your daddy? God. Who's your big brother?
Jesus.
Who is our comforter? The Holy Spirit. We got them all three, don't we? So we don't have to worry about nothing. But right there, the Lord says, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, that's another thing that I've never met a woman that likes for her husband to rule over her. But that's not only in the Old Testament, that's in the New Testament. In the New Testament, wives, you must submit to your husband in all things. If you want your marriage to be blessed, you have to obey your husband. Your husband is going to rule over you. God put him in charge of the family. Did he not? I mean, this is way back in the Garden of Eden. God says, man, I put you in charge of the family. You are to rule over your wife. Now, he didn't mean you're to beat her or be mean to her, because it's very clear in the New Testament how a husband is supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church, but he's still supposed to be in charge over the woman, and she's supposed to submit and obey her husband in all things, it says. Not some things, it's all things. And when you find a woman that learns that secret, like that book I read years ago, I was down at the bookstore, and I saw a book over there, How to Be the Wife of a Happy Husband. And so I went over and got the book. The lady said, sir, I have to ask you a question. She said, why would a man want to read a book like this? I said, that's the reason, because I am a man. And I said, I'm going to find out if this woman knows what she's talking about. I happen to be a man. I know what it takes to make me happy in the home. And if this woman knows these things, then I'll know whether she's got it together or not. So I'm going to read her book. And let me tell you, this woman was just like a normal woman. She did everything wrong in her marriage with her husband. And he kept coming in later and later and later. And then she just got so upset. And she started crying out to God. She was trying to get him to do things with her. She's reading him the right act because he won't do things with her. And he's getting worse and worse and worse. And finally she goes to the Lord and says, Lord, you're going to have to change my husband. And she said, I prayed several times. And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me one day and says, your husband is not the problem. You are. Now, she didn't like that. Lord, I'm the problem. He said, yes, you are the problem. She said, well, what do I have to do? He said, I told you everything you have to do in that book. You get in it and find it. He wasn't even going to tell her. He's going to make her dig for it. And that woman dug it out and found out what her position was, what she's supposed to do, and how she's supposed to love that husband. And I'm telling you, she said, it made a great man out of my husband. And I finally had the man that I always dreamed of, but said, as long as I wasn't doing my part right, he was never going to be that man. But she said, when I found out from God's word what I'm supposed to do, and I started obeying God and submitting myself to my husband, she said, everything in my life changed. My husband started coming home on time. He'd take me out to eat. We'd talk. And she said, what a blessed life it's been. Well, see, a woman has to learn those things. Who is it put the man in charge of the family? I'm in charge of the family because God specifically put that desire in me, didn't he, Joseph? Every man is to rule over his wife. He is to be in charge, but he's to do it in a loving way. Some guys say, well, when I find out that my wife's supposed to submit to me, I just say, okay, woman, go in there and fix my supper right now. No, that's not what he meant, guys. You're not supposed to be a dictator over her. You're supposed to love her. If she's tired that day, you walk in and say, honey, we're going to have dinner. She said, well, it's going to be a little while, but I'm so tired. He said, I tell you what, because I love you so much, I'm just going to take you down to a restaurant tonight and buy you dinner. See, that's loving your wife. That's loving your wife like Christ loved the church. That's not being a dictator over her. It's loving her. And that's what every man's supposed to do. And unto Adam, he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife. Now, wait a minute. He's done what? Oh, he's listened to his wife and done what she told him to do. He said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Now, when I see a man that his wife is constantly telling him what to do, and he just says, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear, I'm telling you what, that ain't a happy home. I don't care what you say. That man has been designed by God to be in charge, not the woman. And some women, you can't get a word in edgeways. They're talking all the time. The man never says anything. The man is supposed to be in charge of the family in a loving way. I mean, did I write this book, folks? Am I teaching you anything that's not in this book? No, this is written. And I have to teach it just like it's written. He said, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. I think about what John Hagee said one day. All of y'all heard of John Hagee, right? He's a good preacher in San Antonio. He said, you know what the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven? I'm going to look up at him and I'm going to kick him in the shins. He said, nope, I guess I better not. I thought, no. But do we all feel like that? Have we all been cursed? Yes, we were cursed until we come to the part where we find out about what Jesus has done. And then we're not under that curse no more. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, you know, when you're able to have God to give you a skin to cover up with versus the glory of God, I don't think that's not much of a comparison. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and to evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat that, then he will live forever. But you and I as Christians already have it. It's ours today. And we eat it by faith every day. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Wow. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 18. Well, one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you have visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He did that for all of us. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That's us. Saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children, that's us, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. When I read that over and over and over years ago. I thought, now wait a minute, God, there's something here that you want me to see that I have not quite understood. In the beginning, God made man, and he gave him dominion and authority over the whole earth, right? And then man sinned in the garden when the tempter came, and we gave our dominion to the devil. And he became the god of this world. We were no longer the gods of this world. We gave Satan our dominion, and we transferred our allegiance from God to the devil, and we become sons of the devil. And so the devil went about killing us, doing whatever he wanted to, because he had legal claim to us. And this happened for 4,000 years. And man finally cried out to God, and the Lord says, okay, I gave the earth to the first pure man. Did Adam have any sin when God gave him the earth? No, he was perfect. Eve was perfect. He gave them dominion and power and authority over the earth. He gave it to man, and he gave it to man for 6,000 years. So for 4,000 years, man lived on it after he gave the dominion and transferred their allegiance to the devil. He gave it to Satan, and Satan became the god of this world. And man lost it. We didn't have it. So now that if Jesus gave the world to man, the earth belongs to a man. Now then, once he became fallen, He could never be holy again, so there's no way he could be holy so he could get back to where he could reclaim the earth. Since the earth belonged to man, man had to take the earth back somehow, some way. And when we all became partakers of sin, there's not going to be another righteous man ever made. And so for all those thousands of years, everybody was in sin. Nobody was righteous. So Jesus said, okay, Father, I will go to the earth and I will become a man. I will lay down my deity and I will become a man. And I will become the first man that's ever been since Adam that's on the earth with no sin. I will let the tempter test me and tempt me in every way to prove that man can walk holy before me, that they do not have to sin. I will show you this, he says. So Jesus came as a little baby, born through a woman, became a man, and he lived for 33 years on this earth, and the devil in that last 3 years did everything he could do to try to get Jesus to sin. And he tries us too, but you know, we don't know much about the Word, and we're a pushover. We're children of the Most High God, and all this dominion and authority and power is given to us. So anytime the devil comes to you and tells you to do something as a child of God, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it at all. You have the power inside of you that is greater than the power that's in this world. He told us that in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you. Jesus lives in me. The King of Kings lives right in there. So when a bad thought comes and says, somebody just did something nasty to you, just get them. You can say, I love them or I can get them. I have that choice, right? You're going to obey either the God of this world or the God that loves you, Jesus Christ. You're going to obey one of them every time, aren't you? You're going to make that choice. But you don't never have to make the wrong choice. With the power that's in you, Jesus Christ, after what he did, he came to this earth, he lived as a man for 33 years, he walked on this earth, and Satan tried everything he knew, and he tried, I mean, he was pondering when Jesus was out there praying, he was so on him that he even sweated drops of blood, and he still didn't sin.
You've been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Why Did Jesus Become a Man? Or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.